Yo, who wear it all? I'm a Adidas freak. Multi thousand pair sneak freak. Real fly physique, that'll look, yeah. Fat watch, live footwear. Having white folks displaying my gear. Come on, son, let's keep it moving, right? Footwear. Check out my book, yeah. Stop, look, standing, you stuck, but don't stare. Come aboard now. We got the Georgetowns, it's on now. So many fat styles, make a kid head fall out. Yo, felines, those two. Paul, I supposed to. Always keep it real with the selection. Holding you, Prince, Black Jordans, K-Swiss kid. Remember Lottos? Stash mad bottles in the fence. Ooh, Deodora, I need a place, me your order. Slow your speed down, buying food for your daughter. Stan Smiths, handling whips. Gravel pits, travel fox, yo. Ready to cop more shit.
I want to welcome you guys back to a new episode of Sauce Kicks, the podcast all about sneakers. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. On today's episode, I'm going to be bringing on the CEO of the network, Silt. We're going to chop it up about his sneaker stories, some funny moments. I'm also going to be bringing back a great segment, Fuego or Barsuda. We're going to take a look at some kicks to see whether he's feeling them or not. And, you know, we're just going to get to chop it up and hang it out, man. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. This podcast is proud to be sponsored by Vacay. Vacay is a health and wellness company that provides quality and great products that will help you elevate your mood, relax your mind, and offers a great rest. You can visit takeavacay.com and use code SAUCEKICKS for 15% off all of your orders. Vacay has awesome products like Delta 8 gummies, sleep gummies, and vape pens. I highly recommend their sleep gummies because I struggle with insomnia, and their sleep gummies helps me to unwind and have a great night of sleep. So go ahead and check those guys out and use code SAUCEKICKS for 15% off all of your orders. All right, y'all. For this next segment, I'm going to be bringing on a special guest. This guy is no stranger to podcasts. This is my guy Silt. What's good with you, man?
Just vibing, man. Beautiful days, just vibrations, man. How you doing?
Can't complain, man. Just kicking it on this Tuesday.
Excited to hang out with you, bro. You know, some tennis, you culture. Oh, yeah, Roll Up sure. Network. You the sauce on the network. A little culture to provide our audience and our demographic some shoe culture, which I think is very prevalent in the culture. Big thing.
Appreciate it, man. Now, before we get into everything, let's go ahead and talk about the network, man. Let everybody know, how did that get started and everything? Like, the name of your podcast and everything.
The podcast, I jumped into podcasting because I wanted to talk about Florida football, but not just Florida football. I grew up in, my brother's a Florida State fan. Most of my friends down here in South Florida, I'm from South Florida, so most of my friends were Miami fans. So the banter, the bickering back and forth about the different programs was just something I grew up, culture I grew up in. We argued about football, but it was always fun, you know, and whoever won the rivalry had the hands up for or the one up for the year. Just that culture that we all know about rivalry football. I wanted to talk about it and just pretty much show that whole demographic, you know, talk to the fans and come from a fan perspective, because everything's covered from every know-it-alls and analysts. So I wanted to cover everything from a fan perspective with my guys. Ended up reaching out to first some close friends of mine that I was cool with, grew up with, see if they want to start a podcast, and they weren't interested. So I reached out to some another guy I knew locally at the time was Kev. Reached out to Kev to see if he was interested, and he was. Another friend of mine that I met on Twitter was Stale. A guy from Broward County, reached out to him to see if he would do the Florida State portion of the show, and he was down. So that was the original crew and how we started the roll-up. Eventually, at first, it was called the Silt, Kev, and Stale Show. We couldn't figure out a name, so we'll use our names until we figure out a name was the idea behind all that. But show started off good, man. We kicked it off in the middle of the season. Wasn't a whole lot of organization. I was the producer. I had pretty much the idea, the concept of the show. We met at Kev's house, hit record, started recording, started talking about everything roster-wise, recruiting-wise, and the rest was history. Stale ended up becoming a cop, went into the police academy, and we were drinking and smoking on the show. So from a, you know, a career move, it just didn't make a lot of sense for him to be on the show. So he backed off. So that second season of the show, we ended up starting it, just me and Kev. We just going to keep going. That's my motto, bro. I'm just going to keep going, and we'll figure out everything on the fly. But me and Kev still press record with no Florida State guy. And we just like, yo, we'll bring on a different Florida State fan from the Twitter until we find somebody. We end up bringing Josh Newberg on the first week of the show. And he loved the show. End up DMing me and saying, hey, I would love to be a part of the show if you guys are down, if you guys can't find a Florida State guy. And that's when we all started like working on the name and, you know, trying to figure out what made sense. I smoked on the show. One of the first things I asked Josh when he came on the show was papers or tobacco, what he rolled up with, you know, which is like cannabis culture. So I asked him that question, and that kind of grew into us asking more cannabis related questions and vibes. So we all kind of came to the agreement that we wanted to base it around that culture, like passing a joint, you know, cannabis culture, and also talking about football. So we came up with the name All Three Together, the roll up. And it was the Big Three roll up. Originally, it was the Big Three roll up, which is, you could fool an old person that don't know nothing about rolling trees. Just like, hey, yo, it's all three programs rolled up in one. But for everybody that know, if you know, you know, it's cannabis culture as well. You know, sitting around smoking a joint and talking about your favorite team.
Oh yeah,
and or drink, whatever you do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What's up?
And from like a fan perspective, like I remember being in college at the time when you guys started, like just seeing, you know, how you guys brought on different guests. You got to talk about everybody's success, whether a team was good, bad at that time. Like content was always great. And even right now with Larion and CJ, like it's dope content, you know, nobody is putting on a persona, like everybody's authentic, it's real, you know what I mean? And then the guest selection, like it's hard. Like you guys have coaches, current players, former players, whoever, and they come on and get a perspective and share whatever story it is that they have. And it's been dope, man, for sure.
Yeah, we try to like master just having dope conversation. I want to make timeless content. When I started this, I know like doing the recruiting is cool, but it's a time frame on it, you know, like doing the updates on the programs, being a beat writer, it's times on all of that. But when you're getting legendary guys to come on to talk about, from Urban Meyer to Derrick Brooks, Ken Griffey Jr., we just had John Bostic on, whoever you name, but getting those guys on to tell their memories from their playing days, and where and just life gems, that's timeless stuff, man, that 20 years from now you can still hit play on these interviews and they still make sense, they age well. So that's what I want to make, just timeless content, dope conversation, and we're trying to get better at this as well. We're not just trying to hit record on the mic and just get trolls off. We actually trying to get better at the craft of interviewing and, you know, creating.
Oh, for sure. And that's a part of the elevation within the network too, like you're not just stuck cracking jokes, because if anything, I feel like that could scare off potential listeners and potential guests. And you guys are doing a great job of, you know, veering from that and, you know, keeping it cordial and chopping it up.
So we want to make it the trolling had his time, right? And like everything, you got to be able to season and grow. There was a trolling aspect of it, and there's still a trolling aspect to the show, but it's more sophisticated. We're not just getting off just any and every joke just to get a laugh and a kiki. We actually trying to give the people some information. I mean, if there's a cool dig or something cool you could do that guys has an undertone, then you get that off. But most importantly, man, everything is just genuine on the show too. Like I don't not to any slight towards the last show, but and I don't like to talk about any of those guys if it's in a negative light. I just try to keep it at this. That's what I'm at with. I just try to keep it positive, keep it moving. So nothing negative about those guys, but it became a point in all of this. Like if you're not really in a relationship, if you're not like really building relationships and working on relationships, like you really just showing up to a show to record together. Are you really friends? And I try to spend time with these guys and talk to them about just life stuff. You know how we are in the network, man. We try to be into, you know, whatever each other got going on and know each other a little deeper than just jumping on a podcast and hitting record. So just it being genuine relationships. I met CJ in person. We knew each other on Twitter and we was at each other's head, like Tom and Jerry, him being a Florida State guy, me being a Gator guy. People thought we hated each other. It was never hate for me. It's just team shit, man. Like, I always view CJ as a family man, you know, smart brother, educated. I never seen him as my enemy because he's a Florida State fan. That's just a wild perspective to live through, man. I just always I always like thought he trolled well, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't just out there just doing any and everything. So I was like, if anything was to happen in the back of my mind, because I never had a Florida State presence that was like me on Twitter. Feel me? So I was like, I was always curious to like, what would that presence be like if it was 2-3 guys on the platform that were like that the entire time? Just super passionate fans, not worried about being a cookie cutter journalist, you know, they get the demographic. But long story short, man, we just been sticking at it, man. And along the way, we started to roll up with a little ego in my mind. And, you know, all of this is just growth. But with the little ego in my mind, there was some stuff behind the scenes that was going on with the roll up. And I wanted to show that I could do it again, you know. So I started Stadium Miguel. I hit up Dan Thompson. I hit up Ahmad Black. Say, hey, I want to start a Gator on a podcast, only podcast, where I can get my thoughts out without trolls and not being worried about anything I put out. I can't give information to the people because I'm worried about it's gonna get trolled. So I need a spot. I think we can start something. We started Stadium Miguel and it hit number one on the iTunes chart the first week we put it out. So. And the rest is history. Stadium Miguel is a big platform. You know, it's solidified, but just wanted to show that I could do something in different lanes and just kick off something. And, you know, sometimes you got to show yourself that you're well, how can I say this? You got to show yourself your power in any situation, you know, like your worth.
Yeah.
You can't really tell on like the roll up who was. And it's not about who's more, but I also thought that the output wasn't equal, you know what I'm saying? And I wanted to show that, like, and I admired Dan Thompson's work ethic, a lot of the moves over there. And then when I started Stadium Miguel, I also look at both of those platforms. Both of those platforms were platforms that I started, but I took the back seat as a host, you know, on both of those, right? I said, yo, I let Josh kind of quarterback the roll up because I wanted to work on, I didn't go to school for this, you know what I'm saying? So I want to sit back and work on the craft a little bit, you know, to watch, to be able to hear things from a different perspective and work on my shit. So same thing with Stadium Miguel. I let Dan lead the way for I could sit back and work on my craft. When the roll up reinvented itself and CJ and all those guys come on, I more than showed that I could lead and host the show. It's not difficult at all, you know. But it took some me taking a back seat and learning this whole craft and still learning. You're forever learning this thing, man, called podcasting. It's so fresh, it's so new. And I love it. I love what I do, bro.
Oh, for sure. I could tell, like, just the energy, the effort, and the time that you put in, like, over the course of the years, like you see the results of it. So
for sure, I mean, man.
You just keep progressing, man.
And it's for sure, man. It's like even like y'all guys, man. Like I've known Jerry, I've known you, I've known so many people around this demographic that I know I inspired to cut on the mic, hit record, and start whatever journey they want to do. I know I inspired a lot of people to do that, and that's motivation, man. That's why seeing you guys do whatever y'all doing at y'all age, because I know I started this way later than y'all, you know. So, like, even if it's you think it's minute now, but just that start, you could do whatever career you got going, but just keep hitting record, man.
Oh, for sure.
And let it all work itself out.
I mean, shoot, it took being on y'all show a couple of times and then being on his for me to even get started because I wanted to. I just, with my career and everything, I didn't have the time. And I was just like, I don't really feel like being in front of it. But I mean, I've been doing this for 2 years now, so I'm definitely with it.
It's an outlet, man. It's an outlet.
Oh, for sure. Good little pastime. Good little.
Yeah. Expressing yourself is important, man.
Big facts. All right. So what I'm about to do now is start the next segment. It's called Fuego or Barsuda. This is pretty much where you'll get to view like some sneakers and give your opinion on if it's fire trash. Can you see?
Yeah, I see it.
All right, so this pair is called the Pine Green Air Jordan 4 SB. This is a Jordan 4 that has some components of a skateboarding shoe. How you feel about this one?
A big 4 fan, man. That color, I ain't mad at that color at all. I think about a few outfits I could put that with. I ain't lying to you.
Okay, so you feel like that's fire or Barsuda?
I think it's fire. I'm a big fan of the 4s. It's probably my second favorite J's, though. So, okay. Big fan of the 4s.
I bet that. Got you.
What you think? Go back real quick. What you think?
All right. Personally, I feel like with the skateboard components, I'm not a skateboarder, so I'm not too into it.
What are skateboard components exactly?
So, if you look, with this angle, it's going to be kind of hard to tell, but like if you look more so like on insole right here, they have a fat cushioning that'll protect your ankles when you skateboard. The little gum bottoms here, like if you see the difference with like a regular 4, this here will give you the stick pattern that'll help you be able to stay on the board and not fall off and stuff. So that's a couple that they have from this angle. This material here is just like a normal like SB dunk right here around the toe board. So for me, I mean, it's okay. I'd probably give it a fuego. Like it looks good, but I feel like the comfort with it, it's probably not there. So
I think like some gray joggers or something, man. You never know, bro. I think that colors.
I don't know. I think this probably look good. Like
a cream.
Yeah, I think it look no. So this here is a sail white. This is a sail white.
Okay.
So I think with like some camo pants or some khaki, that'll slide for real.
Yeah. So khaki's gonna hit good on that with the gum bottom.
Yo, yeah, for sure. They Nike been dropping a lot of gum bottoms lately.
Mm.
All right, next. We got two pair here. This is called the Amamier. This is a black-owned store brand in Atlanta. They actually have a store. These two were inspired by the cherries that'll drop later this year. And then these are inspired by the flu game. So they have this color. It's like a wine, like burgundy, and they put it on all the like collabs or whatever. So how you feel about these pair? Is a pair you like or dislike?
Nah, I ain't feeling them, bro.
I feel you on that. So what we getting? A Barsuda, right?
Yeah, I ain't really feeling it. I don't know what it is, man. Could be that color on an athletic shoe. I don't know. I don't mind that color maybe on some Coney's or some New Balances or something, but I ain't feeling it on no J's, man. What you feel about it?
I feel like this black pair here is Barsuda. Like, I don't like it at all. When they first dropped mock-ups and, like, official pictures, I wasn't feeling it. But this pair here, I was. But then looking at the feedback on social media from, like, the sneaker community, a lot of people, when they got them in hand, they didn't like the white pair because of the bleeding with the white materials. A lot more positive feedback with this pair. I was shocked, but I mean, personally, I didn't go for them. If I did, I would have went for the white pair, but I left them alone because I felt like I didn't need any more 12s, and I'll just probably double back for some pairs that that already dropped. I'll just hit them for resale.
And yeah, I don't know about that color. Maybe they put them on some Breeze or something. I'll give them a try. All right, these damn shoes. I've been seeing these damn shoes all over the internet, man. Right in the Mickey Mouse is this, man.
Bruh, these are called the Mischief Red Boots. I don't know what they was thinking when they made these, but we at this point in fashion to where they're dropping these. What you giving them? Fuego or Barsuda?
I think they trolling us, bro. I think they trolling the people, bro. I think they had the factory making these, and I bet you they wear them, man. You just got to give them to the celebs first.
Oh, yeah.
Basura, man, this is trash. I would never put anything like that on or in my closet. Like, don't look like some crazy rain boots with cartoon characters, bro.
Bro, I'm telling you, I don't know. They remind me of, what's the dude now? I think Astro Boy. I think these what these look like, little Astro Boy boots.
Yeah.
Now, me personally, red my favorite color, but. I'm not paying $500 for these. I'm sorry. Like, they look heavy. I know they're sweating like crazy up in there. And I saw videos of them, like, taking them off. They look impossible and difficult to take off. So, I'm going to get them a Barsuda. I can't. Like, nah.
How much those things run for? I'm curious now.
The retail was like when they released, like from the store, they were like $400 or $500, but resell them things in $1,000.
Yeah, they gonna miss me. Cool on the red boots.
Facts. All right, so now that we got to talk about some Fuego and Barsuda, and you know, just to get an intro who Silk is and the start of the network, let's go ahead and keep it going with the sneakers. Like, what is your sneaker story? Like, who or what got you into sneakers?
Bro, I was a young sneaker. My mom got me into sneakers, man, which was probably a bad thing at the time. I remember my first pair of Nikes was third grade. I got some Cross Trainers. You know, before then, I didn't know like designer shoes or what was popping like that, man. Mom brought me home some Cross Trainers. I wear them to school. And the reaction from people at school was, you know, like I had something important on my feet. It wasn't the He-Man joints and the Ninja Turtle shoes and shit no more. So that was my start to shoes. I just remember a lot of things, like my grandmother telling me about just keeping my shoes clean. That's the first thing a woman look at. So I just always been about just having shoes, man. But shoes, I bet my mom regretted introducing me in the third grade with shoes, because that was me and my mom's biggest fight, man, was getting kicks, you know. I was on her head after that, man, about wanting the latest sneakers. First shoe I probably fell in love with that, you know, that made me like really become a sneakerhead is probably the harder ways. Like, I got shoes all the time, right? And I was into shoes, just having the latest. I'm from Belgrade, so shoe was a moment, you know, like you want to be the guys with the most kicks. And I was one of those kids growing up, like at my middle school, like I was one of those guys in high school that had a lot of shoes and a lot of kicks.
Yeah.
But the first shoe I fell in love with was the Hardaways, man. He dropped those and I thought it was totally different. Everybody was on that Jordan wave. Nike went a totally different direction. They started making shoes that looked like nothing else. So that was the first shoe. The first Hardaways, the first shoe I fell in love with. Went on a run of Hardaways, kind of fell off the Jordan train a little bit then. I was still copping them, but I was a big Hardaway fan, him being a Magic guy. So that was my real introduction to shoes, and it consumed my early adulthood as well. You know, just buying shoes. I remember going to, I went to school up in New York. And when I got ready to leave to go up to New York, that summer before I left, you know, you get your summer job before you're about to go off to college. So I get my job and I'm working, just buying shoes. I said, I'm not taking none of my old shit. I'm taking all new shoes in New York, man. Stuff that I haven't worn in the box. So I bought maybe 12 pair of shoes that summer before I left. I left with 12. I went up to JUCO, junior college up upstate New York called Mooresville. I remember leaving that school when I came back home, man. I had like close to like 100 pair of shoes, man. Just Jordans, Tims. Because on the weekend, we would drive to the city, man. And it was like back then, it wasn't like it is now. You got to wait in these long lines. You got to refresh the internet, man. Back then, if you went on 125th and Lenox and walked, you could just walk into some stores and find just gems on gems, man. Air Force Ones was everywhere and plentiful. Tims and flavors and colors just everywhere. And also Sacconis and New Balances, man, it was just crazy up there at that time, man. So that reignited me. I came home with a bunch of pair of shoes. It kind of died out once I started having kids. And now I like certain shoes. I get into the Lagerfields and canvas sneakers, still like New Balances. I still get Adidas. Shout out to my guy Logan, who was just left Adidas, but he was a big wig at Adidas. He used to always send me stuff from them guys. And I every now and then some Jordan releases, if I could catch it, if I'm not preoccupied on a Saturday morning or whenever they dropping, if I could get in line and get it, then cool. But other than that, I just live vicariously through the kids these days, bro.
True that. It's interesting that you were in South Florida and then you went to New York. And you know, New York, they have their own like sneaker culture. Like back in the day in the 80s when you had like the Crush Groove, like Run DMC were doing lace swaps, the Fat Boys were doing lace swaps, or Run DMC was taking the laces out. So like, that's pretty cool. And like, I know every demographic is different when it comes to nicknames. So like, being in New York, what did they call the Air Force Ones? You remember? Man,
I'm just thinking Air Force Ones at that time. They wasn't a big shoe, and that's the thing too, because this is 2000. I graduated year 2000, so this is 2000 I went off to school. Air Force Ones wasn't a big shoe yet in South Florida. Maybe like in 2002, 2003 is when they started selling out in stores, becoming a little ridiculous. But before then, it was plentiful in stores. It was more of a Reebok Classics, and you know, Cash Money was big then, Juvenile. Oh, so whatever reason, the stuff that the rappers was talking about was what we was wearing. And also the J's always been big in our clothes. Whatever the basketball shoe was cool. But Air Force Ones, I can't remember anything specific. I just remember getting up there and them treating them, because to me, it was just a high top Nike shoe, you know, and they treated it like the Air Force One, the white ones was dropping. It was like a big thing. I was like, bro, is it plain white shoe? Y'all like losing y'all mind over? We got to run to the ball for that. So that's when I started learning like how important the Air Force Ones was to, you know, Northerners, because it wasn't just New York guy. It was guys from Philly. I had a roommate from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He was crazy. He had every color Air Force One you can imagine, man. You know what I'm saying? Guys had crazy shoes. So I was playing catch up when I got up there, because I got up there with 12 pairs of shoes. I'm like, man, I should have brought more of mine. But even if I would have brought what I had, them guys was on another level of sneaker culture back then, man.
Oh yeah, back then Air Force Ones, you had the see-through pairs, you had different color ones. Like it was insane.
Yeah.
And then Nelly, when he dropped Air Force Ones, the price went from 60 to 90 less than a year.
By 02. That's what I'm saying. Like that's when it started cranking up in the South and started selling out in stores when Nelly dropped his, and then we started hearing a rapper with country grammar with country accents saying he went Air Force Ones. That's when it went crazy. But when I went off to school in New York, it wasn't lit like, and I was ahead of the game too.
Yeah.
So when Country Grandma went crazy, I had a closet full of Air Force Ones ready to just, you know what I'm saying, go out and be the guy with all the fly sneakers, man. Not waiting in crazy lines in South Florida, man. I already had a duffel bag full of them from New York.
For sure. Now, when you were saying you was into the Hardaways, like they are re-retroing those now, like they're re-dropping. Would you ever consider going out there up here?
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, here's an old story. So my wife got me a retro pair. This is before we got married. But I had got mad about something. I told her to take them back. And to this day, I still be like, man, I wish I would have kept them damn Hardaways, man, that she wouldn't got, bro. But I'm trying to remember which phone. It was like this phone posits. It wasn't the Galaxies. It was the other pair that they have phone posits. I'm trying to forget the name of them. Not fresh up on my sneaker culture right now, but it's the Hardaway. It's the second Hardaways that dropped. Let me get the name now. I gotta know.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head because I don't want to look it up, because I know the name of it. You talking about the Penny Twos?
Yeah, Penny Twos.
Dang, I can't think off the top of my head.
I got you.
Matter of fact, the twos are coming out, because the black, white, and like the little
called Social Status.
Yeah, those came out already, but the white and blue ones, like the ones he wore with the Magic, those are coming out soon. I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Yeah, those, that symbol on them and all, man. I had the Penny Doll. I had so much Orlando Magic memorabilia at that time with him and Shaq, like Coca-Cola bottles and stuff, man. Just priceless stuff. I still got a lot of that stuff. I just pass it down to my son, man. But just timeless stuff, man.
Oh yeah, for sure. But it's dope though, hearing that you wasn't just tied to like one brand. Like you talked about Nike, you talked about Jordan, Saucony, New Balance, Adidas. Like that's pretty dope, man.
I used to maximize my budget. My mom gave me a shoe budget. So you try to, like, of course, you get you maybe some J's. After that, you start, because you got your own bread, but the budget moms give you, like, all right, I'm gonna squeeze in this two pair of classics or some Saucony, some, you get different styles and different flavor. But you got to be versatile, man, because you can't just buy every shoe at the store. So you try to get a little bit of everything to mix it up.
Oh, for sure. Now, I had one question, but you kind of already touched on that. I was gonna ask you about like the sneaker culture back then, but I want to know, like, here's what I want to do. Earlier when we talked about the Fuego and Barsuda, you were saying that Jordan 4s were your second favorite. Like, what's your favorite pair of Mikes? Like, what's your favorite pair of Jordans?
Breeze.
Okay. Okay. What typical number? Like, you like the bread ones, the 11s? Which one?
11s.
Okay.
Yeah. Easy for me, man.
Man, that shoe was so crazy. I remember I wanted them. I used to go to so I'm from South Georgia, so I used to go to Jack's because my mom from she from there. I used to go up to the mall right across from Norwood, be standing outside. I remember I wanted that pair so bad. They had sold out of my size.
Bruh, that was their very first release of these. I got them. And after that, bro, I've been trying to, like, every time they drop, I be trying to get them. You know what I'm saying? If I know they're going to drop. Now, I'm not tapped into the culture right now, but if I know, I seen the red ones that drop. Was it this past year or the year before? But I seen some all red breeds that drop.
They had the 11s. They was white and red. The cherries. You talking about
cherries? The cherries. Yeah. I wanted to get those. Anything that dropped in patent leather, I wouldn't mind seeing that burgundy color that we just had, maybe in that patent leather. But yeah, that's my favorite shoe of any shoe is that the breed 11s, man.
Okay, I see you rocking with 11. All right.
Can't go wrong, dog. You wearing with a tuxedo, like however you want to do it, bro. Like whenever you want to button it up, it's easy to get the breeze. Yeah, it's right in.
Oh, for sure, man. I done seen so many discussions on can you wear suits with sneakers. I even did a little segment video about it. Like people have worn those to prom, sneaker balls, to work, school, like all type of occasions. Like it's crazy how people will style their shoes, man.
Yeah, man. Shoe is a status symbol to a certain degree, right?
Yeah. I feel like it is. Like, I feel like that's the thing that complements you. I feel like it don't matter like what you're wearing, it don't matter like the colorway, but I feel like the shoes is what set it off. Like that's what people, I feel like a lot of people make more shoe contact before they make eye contact.
For sure. You know,
that's like a little quote that they have in the sneaker community, but like I honestly feel like that's something people do. And like me being a teacher, like every day I'm wearing a different shoe. Like I'm not trying to overwear the same silhouette or the same shoe. And my kids always, you know, talk to me about my shoes. Like it's it'll be some middle school kids. Like I wear silhouette that's not popular. They're like, oh, you got on bricks. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like you a little kid, like what you mean talking about some bricks? Like I'm not reselling my shoes. Like I'm buying these to wear and the junk is crazy.
Yeah, my son is crazy into it now, man. Like all the names, I can't keep up with no more. My bandwidth ain't enough to keep up with shoe culture, man. But through him, I could keep, you know, in touch with the culture of with the youth. But yeah, they crazy into it. Like they haven't missed a beat. He on StockX trying to, you know, educate me on what's popping, you know, yeah. Trying to figure out ways he can flip and make a buck, like all of that, man. So it's encouraging.
Oh yeah, you want to know something crazy, like Gator related? I didn't know Joe Hayden was partnered with StockX.
I didn't know that,
bro. I just found that out like this past weekend because I knew the Cleveland Cavaliers GM was a part of it because he was a part of the one of the lawsuits with Nike, and they was talking about Joe since he retired, like his interest in shoes, and it was like how he got into the market and everything. I was like, bro, that's crazy. I did not know that.
I gotta get Joe in the pod, man.
Not for real.
I'm about to make that happen. Now, sure. I appreciate the reminder because I've been thinking that, man. I gotta make that one happen for sure.
Now, I got one more question. Actually, I got two more, but this next one is, what is a funny sneaker story? Like, it could be a moment where you were wearing some shoes, you were pursuing some shoes, or what? Like, what's one of your funny like sneaker moments?
Man. Bro, I got so, like, all of mine just, like, toxic because I was, like, I had a toxic relationship with shoes, bro. Like I said, this is the biggest fight for me as a teenager was, like, hassling my mom about shoes. So I remember playing, I was on the AAU basketball team. This is, like, 10th grade. And the whole team was getting team Jordans. Wasn't no special Jordan, but it was team Jordans. And my mom had just bought me some regular Jordans. So, like, to turn right back around. And I wasn't no basketball player like that. I played on the AAU team just because I was bored. But my mom's like, why are you wasting my time with this basketball stuff? And you don't even play basketball. So I remember asking her to go get the shoes. And she kept saying, yes, I go get the shoes. Give me a minute. And, like, my son's the same way now. When I look at him, like, bro, he's just like me. So I remember sitting on the couch and I kept just nagging her. Like, mom, when we going to go? When we going to go? When we going to go? And then, Like, I remember the last time I asked her, I was just like, she came out of my sister's bedroom. I said, "Mom, like, your store closes in like 2 hours." And my mom ran at me and chased me around the house with a broom. And we ended up laughing while she was chasing me. But yeah, that's how, like, my relationship and, like, how toxic I was as, like, a shoehead. And I, in the beginning of the show, I said, my mom probably regret me ever introducing me to shoes, because ever since, like, then, bro, it's been like, even when I had like I came back home from college with all those shoes, she's a Christian woman. So being wasteful and gluttonous is something that she just wasn't down for. So just something I know she regretted. But her chasing me around the house with a broom, my siblings laughing, that just was my whole identity with shoes throughout school, man. That was my only beef with my parents, was shoes and shopping. Okay. Other than that, bro, grades, I was a good kid. My only beef was, hey, I gotta get some fly shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, when you was, and like, I remember you said third grade, so like elementary, you were saying like how all the kids either wore like the athletic shoes that was popular, or they had like the little theme, like the cartoon shoes. Now, with you being a parent, like, did you start your kids off like that, or did you like let them explore for themselves to see what they like?
Man, my wife been buying these kids Jordan since they were breathing. Like, before these kids was born, like, my wife is into it, so she'll do it. She'll refresh on the internet. She's gonna make sure that they could get whatever the latest is. You know what I'm saying? And we got connections. I know, like I said, Logan, and I know some dudes from Twitter and in that world that could get me some shoes. They have gotten my kids some shoes in the past that I couldn't get. But yeah, bro, I'm down for it, but like I said, my bandwidth, I don't have time to refresh on the internet. But my wife started buying them Jordans and all type of shoes since they was babies. My daughter's graduated to Off-Whites and, you know, Gucci stores and wanting those type of slides, and it's just a different world. But I'm with it. As long as the grades and stuff is right, bro, you know, I don't teach them to be materialistic. You know, I teach them the value of things, let them know that it's just stuff. But if they doing their part, I'm going to do my part, bro. Yeah. And they bring home good grades and whatnot. So,
for sure, man. Now, before we end, let everybody know where they can find, you know, your podcast, the network, and your social medias and everything. I have a banner going down at the bottom about the pods that you got.
Yeah, man, check us out on the Roll Up Podcast, which most people are gonna know that's listening to this show, on YouTube, Spotify, and also Apple Podcast. But Culture Uncut Podcast is one that I do with my brother, or my cousin, a couple of friends of ours, just my peoples, and we talk everything Black culture, what's in the news, good, the bad, the ugly, whatever it may be. But it's a dope show on the platform. If you haven't checked that out, check that out. Definitely check it out. And Stadium Miguel, all Gator podcasts. You know, we're on every platform, the biggest, YouTube, Spotify, and also Apple. And we got a lot of shows on the network, man. Everybody on the network. Right now, we chilling. We got a lot of changes, website stuff coming, a lot of platform things that are on the way, but solid moves on the way. Upgrades, progress.
For sure. Especially big on the progress, for sure.
Already, man. Thanks for having me on, man. I enjoyed this, dog.
Thank you for coming on, man. I enjoyed, you know, learning more about, you know, the upcoming of the network and just your story with shoes, man. It's pretty dope, man.
So, yeah, no doubt. We're going to return the favor. We're going to get you on the roll up this offseason as well. Come kick it with us a little minute.
Oh, for sure, man.
Already.
I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Catch you guys next time.
I want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode, Kicking It With Silk. I will be dropping another episode next week with a featured guest. If you guys haven't already, please make sure that you guys subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify. My social media pages, you can follow me at SauceKicksPod. I'm on Instagram and Twitter. You can also follow my personal Twitter page at DSGBSauce. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I'll catch you guys next time. Yeah.
that she fucking in the D-League. Before you lose yourself, you just remember I'm gon' be me. Spill the cup, race car shit. She mad I don't love her, so she hate my bitch. I was still sinning and the case dropped quick. Tryna bring my brother home, A-Rod shit. At the bat, last inning, but the base not here. You see me, tryna make me jealous, but I love that you don't need me. Tell me everything I want. Tell me everything I want like candy from a kid. She asked me if I trust her, I'm like, bitch, you know I live. I need you to tell them you the GOAT. Ain't not to them, ayy. Who need them to tell you you the GOAT? I was just racing, pouring out the problems I was facing. Cold pillow sleeping with a ghost, hogging up the blanket. Higher than the ones that didn't make it. Lean tastes better in a spaceship. I think I miss her more, she on the internet naked. Who need them to tell you you the GOAT?